This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Sporting events such as the Western and Southern Tennis Tournament, the Flying Pig Marathon, and the NCAA Hockey Regionals are not only big draws for participants and fans, they're also a powerful economic generator for the region, bringing millions of dollars into Greater Cincinnati each year. Joining us to discuss how important these events are to the local economy are Greater Cincinnati Sports Corporation Executive Director Leslie Spencer, the Director of Membership and Marketing for the National Association of Sports Commissions, Elizabeth Cheney Young, and the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Western and Southern Open Tennis Tournament, Will Sykes. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Elizabeth, now, when we're talking about sporting events, this covers a wide array of sports and athletics, from professional level to collegiate and scholastic events. It's not just the pro teams that we're talking about, is it?
Yes, most definitely. The sports tourism industry generates about $8.7 billion per year, according to a study that we conducted recently. And it impacts communities across the country, no matter what size the market is, large, small, East Coast, West Coast. We've got about 650 members of the NASC that represent communities just like Cincinnati all across the country with all different types of sporting events, whether they're participant-based or spectator-based.
So this can be cheerleading, it can be rowing, it can be all kinds of things like that.
Oh, yes, you name it. It's the traditional sports, but then it's also things like the color run and tough mudder and really extreme type of sports. So it's everything that you can think of, from your 12-year-old daughter's soccer tournament all the way up to the Olympics that happen every several years.
Well, what kind of growth are we seeing in this area? I mean, you're talking about billions of dollars. What kind of growth and how many people are we talking about this attracting across the nation?
Well, our association was founded in 1992, and we've grown from 12 member organizations to 650 organizations in the last 20 plus years. So there definitely is a steady growth pattern, also a general great interest among not only the participants, but the spectators and the communities that host those events. There's also a much larger band of support for those types of events monetarily and financially, because they have realized such wonderful growth for communities across the country. And it's a number that is tangible, that you can conduct research and reports and find an estimate on the amount of visitor spending that took place as a result of any number of events.
So communities are saying this is a good form of business to go after.
Most definitely, especially during the recession. The sports event industry was a little bit more recession resistant, not necessarily recession proof, but children and families are still participating in sports. Your daughter is only 12 once, so you will forego a family vacation if your daughter makes some sort of tournament and you want to make sure that she participates. So that's why the sports event industry has really continued to blossom and grow, even through recession and difficult times economically.
Boy, that hits home. My son played soccer when he was a kid, and I can remember traveling to all these tournaments. We were all over Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. So you're right. As a parent, it is something that you give up some time for. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Leslie, how much of an impact has the Greater Cincinnati Sports Corporation had since it started, 25 years ago?
25 years ago, this July of 2014 will mark our 25th anniversary. And since our founding in 1987, our nonprofit Sports Commission has enriched the community through the acquisition of more than 250 amateur or professional sporting events. In just the last decade, we have booked over 305 total hotel room nights in the region for an estimated economic impact of more than $89 million to the greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area.
Wow. That big of an impact.
Very large impact, particularly the youth market that Elizabeth touched upon. The families travel for their mm-hmm. children for those particular events. That's where the majority of the room nights are driven, is in the amateur market.
I can believe that. Will, Western and Southern Open, though, that's a good example of we're talking about sporting events. That's a good example of this type of thing. And it has the distinction of being the oldest professional tennis tournament that's still being held in its original city, right?
Yeah, that's accurate. The event began on what is now Xavier University's campus.
Really?
Then called the Avondale Athletic Club in 1899. Now, the dress was different. And the surface was different, but it's been a Cincinnati event since then. History is something that we hang our hat on, but to get back to what we're speaking about today, it's really rarity which is driving tourism. So this event is really one of only five in the world that have the best men, the best women competing at the same venue the same week outside of the Grand Slams. So we have people traveling from all 50 states, 31 countries, coming to Cincinnati, spending money. We find that three out of our four visitors are from outside of greater Cincinnati. So it's a huge boon to the area in the summertime, and we find that tennis fans can't get enough of this type of an event.
I can imagine. Now, in terms of dollars, what kind of impact is it having?
Well, the event, the last time we actually conducted a economic impact study was in 2011, and we were looking at $62.5 million economic impact of the event singularly of itself. And if you look at that in comparison, the All-Star Game that was conducted most recently in Kansas City had a $60 million impact. So I think on a large-scale basis, and you look at the event in the summertime, we're having the All-Star Game occurring just north of the city every single year in August.
And the venue for the Open was just upgraded in the past few years, wasn't it?
Yeah. Over the past 4 years, we've put $22 million into the venue. So really, that was part of becoming this elite combined event. We needed more courts. So we had women coming in at the same time as the men. You have some capacity issues. You need to find practice courts. And so expanding the competition facilities was one phase, and then expanding the fan experience facilities really helps us show everybody who is coming in from West Virginia, California, North Dakota. We actually had 49 states a few years ago. We had no Idaho. We picked up Idaho last year. So we thought about sending an intern out and letting them take up residence in Idaho just so we can knock off that 50th state. But these fan experience areas that we've created in the new food court, some destinations around the site, they've really given people a reason who aren't hardcore tennis fans but who love a one-of-a-kind event similar to something like going to the Kentucky Derby. You may not love horse racing, but you're going to drive there from Michigan because it's the Kentucky Derby. We're trying to create that experience, and this expansion has really taken us to that point.
Well, not to mention, I'd imagine you're reaching millions of people worldwide by television for this event.
Well, yeah, tennis is unique in that we you know, I love baseball, but there are not a lot of people outside of the 50 states that love baseball like Americans do. But tennis, being truly an international sport, we actually find our television distribution is exponentially greater outside of the United States. Whether it's in Spain, where Rafael Nadal, number one in the world, the Spanish community goes crazy when he makes it deep into a tournament, and we pick up millions of viewers. But we're talking over 60 million viewers worldwide of our tournament alone, 60 million people who see Cincinnati, which is splashed across the back wall and right in television view.
I'd like to also point out about Cincinnati, what Will talked about is the experience of the particular event is what makes it so successful, but it's also our region. Our region has the compactness, it's a drivable market where 75% of the U.S. can get to our city within an 8-hour drive, making it more appealing to get the broader national audience. But we also have unwavering hospitality as well as some wonderful attractions, cultural arts, family-friendly, and new casinos that really drive attendance for particular events in our city.
And how much effort goes into bidding for these events? You're shaking your head there, Elizabeth. Did you have some comments on that?
Yeah, bidding on events is extremely competitive, especially among our members. And I'm sure Leslie can be a little bit more specific on what it takes to actually prepare a bid and have a successful bid. But the bidding process is definitely a standard in our industry. And many of the event owners, similar to the NCAA and national governing bodies of sport, all go through a bidding process to award their events. to particular cities and host communities. But I'm sure Leslie can attest to the amount of time and effort it does take to really put together a strong bid and win an event.
And all bids are very different. From the collegiate NCAAs, which we went through a four-year bidding process just this past fall, was very different from a particular convention bid or an amateur or a youth particular bid. So there are some bids that may require 100 hours of bid time and research and development, and others may require just, 20 to 30 hours worth of work. But it's basically showcasing your city, what you're going to do for spectators as well as participants and sponsors, how they will be treated and why they should choose Cincinnati over the other 220 cities that are competing for this particular market.
Well, and being on the property side, like we are at the tennis event, we were very unfamiliar with this bidding process, and we never had to worry about it until people started to realize that we had a world-class facility right here in Cincinnati. So over the past couple of years, I think with Leslie, we've become engaged in that. We're looking at our venue as something that could be utilized 365 days out of the year to showcase tennis because, hey, what collegiate or high school athletes don't want to play on the courts that Roger Federer and Maria Sharapova have won big titles. So it's been a very important and fun process that we've been involved with.
And you've hosted other events as well as the volleyball tournament. So we've looked at other particular events for not just tennis for your particular venue because it's so phenomenal, but action sports have looked at it, other unique events that would fit within that arena-style seating with multiple venues.
Leslie, what's involved in attracting these various events? How far in advance do you contact these leagues? What are they looking for in a city?
They're all very different. I've learned that in the last 15 years of doing this job. There could be 2 to 3 year out bid process, such as we just endured with the NCAA. There could be a 12-month bid process out, as I just uncovered with the National Sports Forum, which we were awarded this coming February. So it's very dependent upon the particular organization nationally, what their guidelines are, what their bid fees. There's a bid fee usually, free venues required typically, hospitality that is unwavering, unmeasurable, which sets us apart from the other cities. You know, we always try to put our best foot forward in hospitality and welcoming our guests, and not just the participants, but the spectators as well.
And when an event does come to town, say it's a cheerleading competition, once they're here, are there groups that work with them on hotels and transportation and that kind of thing?
That's what we would do. We service all of those events that we have bid on or that we host, whether they need sponsors or volunteers or media or PR, help with setup, teardown. Hospitality is also very key in those events. And a lot of our events, once they come to the market, particularly in the amateur market, return year after year. We've hosted Jam Fest Super Dance Nationals now for 9 years running. The only city in the country hosting that Super Dance Nationals. We've hosted many multiple other events that have chose Cincinnati year after year because of the hospitality and the compactness as well as the ease of transportation within to our region.
We'll continue our conversation after the break, and you can join the discussion by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about the economic impact on sporting events for the Cincinnati area. And my guests are Greater Cincinnati Sports Corporation Executive Director Leslie Spencer, the Director of Membership and Marketing for the National Association of Sports Commissions, Elizabeth Cheney Young, and the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Western and Southern Open Tennis Tournament, Will Sykes. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number 513-419-7100. Leslie, what are some of the recent successes that GCSC has had in attracting sporting events to the Cincinnati area? I know we just had the NCAA Hockey Regionals come in. That was a big one.
That was a wonderful one. We actually won that to return in March of 2016 as well when we did the four-year bid process. Some of our most well-known events would be the NCAA Women's Final Four, the NCAA Frozen Four, World Figure Skating Championships, Mobile Skate Park Series event, USA Gymnastics Men's Junior Olympic Nationals, U.S. Fencing North American Cup, Black American Association Nationals, as well as your cheer and dance like Jam Fest Super Dance Nationals. We do have CrossFit Regionals coming this coming May to University of Cincinnati,
okay.
So that's exciting.
Okay. What are some things that are coming up next year?
Next year, we have the National Sports Forum. I'd like to actually talk about that.
That's a big deal, isn't it? Because the Major League Baseball is involved in that. The NBA, NHL, NFL, they're all going to have executives here.
National Hockey League, Collegiate. It's a wonderful event that will attract 800 professionals in those particular organizations you just referred to. In partnership with Cincinnati USA Convention Visitors Bureau, Cincinnati Reds, the Bengals, Duke Energy Center, and Horseshoe Casino, we won that bid process just recently this past fall, and that will take place in February of 2015. We're very excited about it because participants that are interested in this industry can also sign up and attend that while it's right here in our backyard.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And have you had any one of these events that was maybe the largest or brought in the most attendees and had the biggest economic impact?
Yeah, actually, there was one that's quite unique and different. It was called the North American Roller Hockey Championships, inline hockey. It brought in 404 youth teams from across the states, about 45 different states. 10,909 games were played in a two-week period on three rinks at Sports Plus back in 2004, and that was the largest to date of that NARCH tournament, they call.
Elizabeth, these are good exposure for the community, aren't they?
Oh, most definitely. And that's a big reason why sports events are so unique. It's not another meeting or convention that's coming to your community. It's a sporting event that generates media exposure and attention, not only in the local community, but across the country, especially for some of the national championships that we've mentioned.
And do you work with any similar groups in Kentucky on bidding for events, maybe with the chamber or?
Yes, we actually partner with all of our Convention and Visitors Bureaus. We're fortunate in Cincinnati that we have five different regional CVBs, Convention and Visitors Bureaus. We've partnered with every one of them on certain bids in the past. The Sports Corps has a unique partnership with both the Cincinnati USA as well as Northern Kentucky Convention and Visitors Bureau in terms of our underfunding of our operations. We also partner with every venue imaginable you can think of, the city, the county, if needed. High schools, colleges. When we did the NCAA process, we actually partnered with all five colleges within our region, putting forth 12 different NCAA bids just this past fall.
Yeah, that's something that we have to juggle as well, the partnership, because with such a big event, we have our site, which is in Mason, and the city of Mason have been great partners. Our hotels, most of which are in Warren County and some downtown. And then, of course, our flagship city, which is Cincinnati, which is on our back wall. And so there are a lot of entities that we want to make sure benefit and at the same time are helping us put on the event, whether it's traffic, police officers, support from CVB and regional tourism networks. So it's a big puzzle that we've been fortunate to put together and have good partners here in the region.
Well, I'd imagine that as soon as one open ends, you guys are already off planning for the next year, aren't you?
I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because most everyone else says, what do you do for those other 350 days? And we say, hey, you know, it truly is a year-round job. And our goal year over year is to make the event better. So as soon as we close, we look at our partners. We look and see how we can recap them on what we had done and that year and how we can do better for the next year. We look at our broadcast deals and figure out where we can extend the image of Cincinnati further across the globe. So, yes, it's a full-time job.
Ongoing process.
Exactly.
Leslie, but when a group decides to come back again, are there certain things they mentioned that won them over about Cincinnati? And maybe, Elizabeth, you can address some of that as well.
Absolutely. I would, you know, I've referred to this before, but I think the affordability of our hotels, our services, our attractions, the fact that we have unbelievable attractions from cultural to arts to family friendly to amusement parks, the casinos for the adults, you know, that's unbelievable for the families that are visiting in town. They make it a mini vacation once they come to a sporting event because of what we have to offer. And based on our location, the accessibility, you can either fly in to multiple different airports as well as you can drive in, typically for more than 70% of the U.S. population.
Yeah, just to add to that, I would say that what is very helpful for an event owner is to host an event in a city like Cincinnati and really see all the value that's here, all of the different things that there are to do, and just a lot of different entertainment options and restaurants and shopping options, which is very important when an event owner is selecting a city to host, drivability, which Leslie mentioned, and the ability to get your teams here relatively easily and inexpensively. When you're driving, it's a lot easier for particularly amateur events to drive and caravan a youth soccer team or baseball team as opposed to flying. So that is a huge advantage that Cincinnati has in this market.
And the small city charm. A sporting event is going to take precedence in our city due to the success as some of the larger ones, such as Will's event, is the Flying Pig Marathon. It takes unprecedented importance in our city. It's on all the media outlets. People come out and they support it locally. It's talked about for months, years even. So I think that Cincinnati's small-time charm and hospitality is also key that we hear a lot from the rights holders, as they're always welcomed.
We like to ask our fans, what do you do when you're not at the tennis tournament? And I think it's telling, and it may not be true for every single event, but it shows, I think, in a microcosm the impact of these events. And so we found that 1 in 3 visit downtown. And so they may be staying in Mason, but there's a good amount that are coming downtown. We've also found that outside of our grounds, so not even concessions or anything that occurs while they're at the event, they're spending on average a little over $500 per group per day when they're here. And they're here for an average of 4 days and groups of 3. So you're looking at a lot of influx of spending, whether at, you know, restaurants and OTR, shopping somewhere, you know, along 71, but a lot of money coming in from other areas and being infused into our economy.
And I think our downtown banks development, too, has made us more popular as well as attracted to other rights holders. We have a lot to do in a walkable downtown setting that's 12 miles from the airport if they're flying those folks in. It is a wonderful walkable city.
Let's talk with Joe from Westchester. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Very good. I am a follower of drum corps marching, which I don't know if any of you are familiar with, but it's sponsored by Drum Corps International. And they have teenagers up to the age of 21 who travel in different drum corps and do these very intricate, very demanding shows. And there is a competition that comes to Fairfield every year, right about the end of June. It's at Fairfield Stadium, but I was just wondering if there was any interest in finding a bigger venue for that.
Absolutely. And here's Leslie from the Sports Commission. I can certainly help you. We've got wonderful facilities in the downtown or our collegiate partners. If you're interested, please feel free to call me. My phone number and email is on the website at cincysports.org.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the question and the comment. Overall, how does Cincinnati do when it comes to attracting these kind of events?
I think we do quite well. You know, we do have a strategic focus that we're working on is to secure new events, maintain the existing events, obviously, and regional room night impact. And we do have some challenges. We're a very fragmented city, so there's a lot of organizations that are also working with us to do, securing events, conventions, and meetings. So funding has become a challenge for us locally, which we're working on right now and developing a new Board of Governors plan to help go into our sporting event bid fund, because every sporting event requires a cash bid fee as well as local servicing that requires particular quite financial impact. Exposure. When the events come in town and we may have been involved in the bid process as well as securing the venues and the hotels and the media partners and the sponsors, the exposure only goes to the particular event, which it should because it's the NCAA hockey or it's the AAU track and field or it's the AAU karate nationals. But it never goes to the sports commission, which was responsible for doing the bid and securing it in the city. So we have to work on that as a board, which we have actually put on the plate for a focus for 2014 is generating more exposure for what we do. And we're a nonprofit, so we're a tax write-off. So any type of funding that we do get, you know, we can certainly make sure that it goes right to the appropriate channel of a sporting event bid fund.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Greater Cincinnati Sports Corporation Executive Director Leslie Spencer, the Director of Membership and Marketing for the National Association of Sports Commissions, Elizabeth Cheney Young, and the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Western and Southern Open Tennis Tournament, Will Sykes. After the break, move over, Buck Rogers. The Scarlet Spacer is coming through. And in Focus on Technology, giving voice to the voiceless, literally. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.